Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. We'll start with verse 1. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us as judgment. Sorry, let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinks up scorning like water, which goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with the wicked men? For he has said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask for your strength. Guide us and help us serve you and help us do your will. Bless this message. Bless today's services. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we know of God? Well, we definitely don't know everything. However, there are key things that God reveals that we should remember. And these things are definitely important to remember when we are dealing with strife. Now remember, this whole book of Job is about dealing with strife. About, you know, sometimes it talks about the cause of strife. Sometimes it talks about how to deal with judgmental friends. But it all comes down to, it's a book about pain, really. And sometimes when we deal with pain, we need to take a look at the character of God. Hopefully by the end we'll understand why that is. But let's look at verse 2. It says, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tastes meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good." So here he says, you know, we've heard some things talking about the things Job has said. And he says, let's do a taste test. And let's see how wise this statement taste. Now what he's doing is, of course, he's likening wisdom and discernment to the taste buds. And you can almost hear him say, "Job, you've said something that tastes a little rotten. It doesn't taste quite right. Something's spoiled in there." Now, I want to remind you of something. And I said it last week, and for as long as we're dealing with Elihu, I'll probably keep reminding you. Bildad and, I can't think of his name, but the other two friends that Job had, Bildad and Eliphaz. Sorry, it took me a minute to remember his name. These guys, God rebukes. Elihu, God does not rebuke. And you know something? When I read this chapter, I thought, well, why didn't God rebuke Elihu? I don't understand. And then it hit me. Hold on a minute. Some of the things Job said did stink of rotten meat. Some of the things Job said did err on the side of maybe he shouldn't have said it. And Elihu mentions some of these things when he says, verse 5, "I am righteous and God has taken away my judgment." Well, did God take away anything? No. Now, the devil took some things away. I mean, it's almost like Job was saying, this isn't fair. God has taken away my judgment. I'm a righteous man. And I should be not treated like a wicked man, and I should be treated like a righteous man. This isn't fair. And you know something? How many adults have said it to our kids, and how many who have, as we were young, had parents say it to you? You know what I'm going to say. Life's not fair. But I'm glad life's not fair. I am? Yes, I am. Because if life were fair, we'd all be burning in hell. It was not fair that they hung Jesus on the cross. It was not fair that they whipped him with a cat of nine tails. And I won't go into that because that's just disgusting. It's not fair. But it is love. And it is right. And it is just. No, Job, it probably isn't fair that you suffer what you suffer. However, there is a justness to it. There is a rightness to it. Not that Job deserved it. That's not what we're saying. But what I'm saying is, God did this to prove a point to the devil. And the devil lost. When you take it all out, the devil lost. And at the end, even though he went through hardship, we know Job was rewarded. So pardon us if we perhaps agree with Elihu a little bit. I do. I think some of what Job said was not the wisest of things. And again, we'll talk about that more next week when we talk about how words matter. But first thing we're looking at, though, as we go on, verse 10 says, therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. What's he saying? He says, well, Job, you're saying this isn't fair. Like God's done some kind of crime to you. God's done no crime. He's God. And the first characteristic we see here about God, and it's very true, all of these are true, God is good. God is good. Verse 11 says, for the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Remember, Job said, he takes away my judgment. Elihu says, no, he doesn't, and he won't. And in the end, we see Elihu is right. Everything works out the way it was supposed to work out. But it didn't work out in the time Job wanted it to. See, usually we don't talk against Job. We talk against Job's friends. But in all honesty, there were times where even Job was wrong. Verse 12 says, yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. God does not do bad. God is good. In Nigeria, the phrase was started, God is good all the time. This Answers.com says that this phrase went viral soon after in Liberia, among Christians facing terrible persecution, torture, murder, and other harassment from the community around them. It's interesting to note to me that this was spreading among those in persecution, a time when one would really need to remember that God is good all the time. It's interesting also that you don't hear them say, this isn't fair. They say God is good
all the time. And there's another part to that. I don't know if it happened in Nigeria or if it came later. But the way it goes is God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And oh, during strife, we need to remember that. Oh, it looks like God's running me through the ringer, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. It may be easy for some of us to say that God is good. But put yourself in Job's shoes. I'm sure it didn't feel to him like God was good to him. We don't think about that. Think about the person who just lost a loved one. They may not feel like God is good. The person who has been sick for years and have been diagnosed and been told that in 6 months, they're going to die. Some of them are really strong Christians and really get through that okay. But I'm sure to some it doesn't feel like God is good to them. But that does not change the fact that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. It doesn't change that fact. As a matter of fact, if the person going through the heartache and strife and trouble knows Christ, when it's all said and done and they're in heaven, they will remember that God is good. And I like what Paul says when he says, you know, all this that we go through pales in comparison to the glory that awaits us in heaven. Folks, if we can only remember that we're living in a temporary setting and that eternity is coming, that might make it a little easier for us to remember the goodness of God. However, we do not need to forget that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job was trusting God. He was staying on God's team. Job just wasn't too happy with God right now. But Job didn't switch sides. You know what that tells me? One, it tells me, God's sure a patient God. It also tells me that, guess what, we're human. We are human. We sin, we think bad thoughts, and then, praise God, we get over them. And we ask for forgiveness, and we keep on serving. The forgiveness of God is just another perfect example of the goodness of God. But not only is God good, he is also sovereign. And we look at the sovereignty of God here in verse 13. When Elihu asked, who has given him a charge over the earth? Or who has disposed the whole world? Who has put God in charge? Not a soul. But God made this world, and he is in charge, and he is the ultimate authority over us, and ain't nobody could put him in charge, and there sure ain't going to be anybody going to be able to take it away from him. God is sovereign. Look at verse 14. It says, if he set his heart upon a man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again to dust. I like what a mentor of mine, gone on to be with the Lord now, his name was Al Warren. He was general manager of Affiliated Food Southwest for a long time. And what he said was, we're all flowers in God's garden, and he can pick any one of us anytime he wants. Oh, I like the way that one. Because it's not that God doesn't like us, it's God loves us. But he also knows what's best for us. And sometimes it's best to take us home. Sometimes it's best to put us through the fire. Put us through the fire, yeah. Because To God, putting us through the fire is like what we do to the kids when they get really muddy. And we have to take them. They don't like that. But Miss Jean, did you ever have to do that to one of your... Yeah. We got to get that off. Why? It's dirt. It's not supposed to be there. Sometimes that's what God does. I got to refine you. It hurts, I know, but I've got to refine you. Why? Because you're dirty and we got to get it off. When I was growing up, I don't know what it did. Maybe it was antibiotic. I don't know what it was. All I knew is it tasted horrible. There was this medicine called Intex. And it's supposed to taste like vanilla. But if it tasted like vanilla, there sure wasn't no sugar in it. It was bad. But I had to take it. Why? Because it was good for me. Sure didn't taste good. My wife tells me I have to eat more vegetables. Why? They taste terrible. Because they're good for you. They don't taste good. Have you noticed that a lot of the things that are good for us don't taste good? And I'm not just talking about vegetables. I'm talking about life in general. How much pain have we gone through? How much heartache have we gone through? I'm thinking about my own household. How much heartache have we gone through? Only at the end to realize that God did have a plan. But He had to get us to the other side of it to get us there.
God is sovereign, but we should not fear His sovereignty. Do you know why we shouldn't fear His sovereignty? Because God is good. Verse 16. If now thou hast understanding, hear this. Hearken to the voice of my words. Shall even he that hate right govern? And wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, you are ungodly? How much less to him that accept not the persons of princes, nor regards the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. You know, a pauper sure wouldn't say to a king, you're evil. You're terrible. I can't stand you. What would happen? Well, in their day, that's exactly what would happen. In their day, it'd be off with your head. And Elihu's like, why would you say that to God who made you? And by the way, he says, and God doesn't care if you're rich. He doesn't care if you're poor. He takes you for you. Your deeds are, that's your thing. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter whether you're poor. It doesn't matter who you are. He measures you for you. Verse 20 says, in a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. I'm telling you, folks, there's some people who have gotten to the point where they hate God. What there are? Yeah, there are. They hate Him so much they deny He even exists. And many of them know He exists. But they just can't stand the thought of somebody else having charge over their life. What they don't understand is that He has charge over their life anyway. God is sovereign. He will do what He will, to who He will. But He is also good. But there's more. Look at verses 21 and 22. For His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He sees all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. You know something? God is all-knowing. Now we fancy talkers call that omniscience. Omniscience. It means God knows everything. From beginning to end, He knows it all. Now, because God's good, it's easier to deal with His sovereignty. But when we look at His sovereignty, we need to understand that God isn't clueless when He chooses what to do. He has complete understanding and knowledge. And this complete knowledge should put us more at ease when we think about the sovereignty of God. if we were ever concerned to begin with. Some people are. Some of us aren't. Because there ain't nothing we can do about it anyway. God is in control regardless. But it is comforting to know that God is good. He is in complete control. And thankfully, He knows what He's doing. Now, I try to be good. But the things I control, if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm going to cause some problems. But God, we don't have to worry about that. Continue on to verse 23. For He will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number and set others in their stead. Therefore He knows their works, and He overturns them in the night so that they are destroyed. Who's He talking about? He's talking about the wicked. As a matter of fact, the next verse mentions this. He strikes them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from Him and would not consider any of His ways, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come to Him and hear the cry of the afflicted. When He gives quietness, who then can make trouble? And when He hides His face, who then can behold Him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only, that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared, surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. Should it be according to your mind? He will recompense it, whether you refuse or whether you choose, and not I. Therefore speak what you know. Let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me. There's one final thing that Elihu mentions, and it's the justness of God, or you might say the justice of God. We don't see the reasons for what God does. He knows far more. We need to pray for wisdom. But He does take care of what needs taken care of. The wicked, they end up paying for it. The good, they end up all right. But we see the justice of God. It ends up okay. Now, sometimes it takes all of life to get to... I got a drink of water. To get to eternity before things kind of balance out. But man, when they balance out, when God finishes, they really balance out. Now, we've seen how God is good. We've seen how He is just. We see how He knows all and uses all of these characteristics when dealing out His sovereign will. So we need to remember who God is. We need to reverence Him even in the pain. Even when things don't go the normal route on Sunday morning, I still got to reverence God and trust that He's got something. Probably patience He's trying to teach me. That's all right. That's okay. But I'm telling you something. Somebody who doesn't know Christ, they need to be concerned. God is just. And those who sin must have their sin debt paid. And if nothing is done, that means hell. Thankfully, God sent Jesus to pay our price for those who trust Him.